chapter begins with three quotes from H.G. Wells' Modern Utopia, 1905, quote, "The leading principle of utopian religion is the repudiation of the doctrine of original sin," unquote. Octavio Paz, from The Labyrinth of Solitude, 1950, quote, "Everything functions as if death did not exist. Nobody takes it into account. It is suppressed everywhere. We now seem possessed by the Promethean desire to cure death," unquote. Bob Chase, President, National Education Association, from NEA Today, April 1997, quote, "Education is the modern world's temporal religion," unquote. The problem of God has always been a central question of Western intellectual life. The flight from this heritage is our best evidence that school is a project having little to do with education as the West defined it for thousands of years. It's difficult to imagine anyone who lacks an understanding of Western spirituality regarding himself as educated, and yet American schools have been forbidden to enter this arena, even in a token way, since 1947. In spite of the irony that initial Protestant church support is the only reason we have American compulsion schools at all, the rug was pulled out from beneath the churches quite suddenly at the end of the 19th century, under the pretext that it was the only way to keep Catholicism out of the schools. When the second shoe dropped with the Everson decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1947, God was pitched out of school on his ear entirely. Before we go forward, we need to go back. The transformation businessmen wrought in the idea of education at the end of the 19th century and the early decades of the 20th is the familiar system we have today. Max Otto argued in his intriguing book-length essay, Science and the Moral Life, 1949, that a philosophical revolution had been pulled off by the businessmen under everybody's nose. Otto described what most college graduates still don't know, that the traditional economy, where wants regulate what is produced, is dead. The new economy depends upon creating demand for whatever stuff machinery, fossil fuel, industrialized imagination can produce. When this reversal was concluded, consumption, once only one detail among many in people's lives, became the most important end. Great consumers are heroes to machine society, the frugal villains. In such a universe, schools have no choice but to participate. Supporting the economic system became the second important mission of mass schooling's existence. But in doing so, materiality found itself at war with an older family of spiritual interests. In the general society going about its business, it wasn't easy to see this contest clearly, to recognize that great corporations which provided employment, endowed universities, museums, schools, and churches, and which exercised a powerful voice on important issues of the day, actually had a life and death stake in the formation of correct psychological attitudes among children. It was nature, not conspiracy, Otto wrote, that drove businessmen to devote themselves to something besides business. It was only natural they should try to control education and to supplant religion as a definer of ideals. The class of businessmen who operated on a national and international basis, having estranged themselves from considerations of nature, culture, and tradition, having virtually freed themselves from competitive risk because they owned the legislative and judicial processes, now turned their attention to cosmic themes of social management. In this fashion, minister gave way to school teacher became pedagogus, under the direction of the controllers of work.